Greg Hoffman, thank you very, very much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Will you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
No one's ever said no. No, bugger off. I'm off.
Oh, sorry.
Hello, I'm Richard Kilgariff. That was me saying thank you to Greg Hoffman for sharing his book, Emotion by Design, Creative Leadership Lessons from a Life at Nike, at a recent Books for Breakfast event at Soho House. Greg Hoffman joined Nike as an intern in 1992. He turned up in an old van loaned to him by his adoptive parents. 27 years later, he left Nike as global CMO, having overseen some of the world's most iconic campaigns with megastars from football, basketball, tennis, and of course, athletics. Greg is a quietly spoken man with an intensity that belies a deep-set ambition to pursue a life of art with purpose. A journey which led him to find an extended family amongst the heroes of his youth, and then, finally, as that chapter came to an end, to be reunited with his birth family. After our Books for Breakfast, I sat down in a quiet corner with Greg and picked up on some of the more personal themes in his book, Emotion by Design.
Thank you for coming here. You've come, you literally have come a long way.
Couldn't be more happy to be in London.
Yeah.
It's been a few years, but every time I come here, I'm inspired by everything I see and feel and hear.
Well, that's a big theme in the book, isn't it? And today's chat was you should always look around you and look at the world around you. Don't look internally all the time. And that's almost a creative myth, isn't it? That creativity comes from within. I would say the ethos of your book is that creativity comes from without and then is shared in a group
of
people.
No, absolutely. Yes. Over and over again, I found success and my team found success from bringing the outside world into our own and sharing it broadly within our teams, but also through the entire organization. So that you're this constantly curious, creative organization, and that becomes essentially your superpower as you're trying to create innovative solutions, whether it's products or stories or environments. As I said, you know, complacency is the enemy of creativity, so we have to exercise that curiosity every day and find new points of inspiration. And it makes for a more enjoyable and more inspiring experience as well within your working environment.
And life.
And life in general, yeah.
I see one of the testimonials on your book is Nir Eyal, who's been a guest at Books for Breakfast and written extensively on habit and habit-forming products. And it seems to me the tension that you talk about when we talk and in the book is there between routine and automation and control and freedom and liberty to express. And seen as a battle or a game, which is great in terms of the Nike framing, that battle is ongoing, isn't it? But there's never been a better time to look at the world in terms of there's never been a better served time to see
That's
the world.
Right.
But we're also up against the forces of automation, which try or make it easy for us to do the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... You know, as the outgoing creative lead, somebody who's been through the ranks at Nike, who's lived and breathed the brand, how do you personally now, as a human being, how do you keep on top of that without having, you know, you're not going not going to Nike every day, so you're involved in startups and entrepreneurial roles, you're a lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that personal ethos true today?
It's a great question, and one I think that many are grappling with that are in the brand building industry, because as you know, building a brand is an art and science. And to your point, within the science aspects of serving consumers and engaging with them, there are so many tools available to be more productive and faster and have a higher velocity of what you can put in front of your audience. But at the same time, I do believe, you know, the art is at sometimes being squeezed out of the branding process. And so what I often do is, and what I believe in, is that you should always have a healthy tension that exists between maybe someone who's more creatively oriented and thinks with the right brain side of the brain, and someone who's maybe more analytical in their approach and thinks with the left side of the brain. And it's the idea of multiplying those approaches and those skill sets that I believe creates kind of the best solutions in marketing. And so off, you know, what I do today is ensure that I'm walking into the room really talking about, not just talking about the power of creative leadership in business and what a strong creative culture means within a company, but showing it. And really within the book, I show multiple examples of how a commitment to a creative practice and cultivating a culture of creativity inside your brand will lead to the type of deep emotional connections with your audience that, quite frankly, are not only the envy of other brands, but leads to incredible business growth. And I believe in the time we're in right now, allows you to play a broader, bigger role in the world beyond the products you sell and really have a positive impact on people's lives.
And the way they see themselves and the way they see themselves in the world. And you and your identity through the years, having gone to Nike as an intern, you very much identified with the movements and the ethos and the belief systems and the values of the heroes that you were following and then got to work with. But did your identity change through that nearly 30-year career there when you had some news towards the end of your time at Nike, which must have shook you to the core when you found out who your birth parents were?
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, you people often ask, you know, where does creativity come from? Is it innate? Are you born with it? Or is it environmental? You know, I had a lot of, obviously questions as an adoptee throughout my whole life. And while I wrote this book to make the discovery and find my birth parents through 23andMe, by the way, which is all about data and analytics and algorithms and
the data
and
the power, found you.
Yeah, the power of technology to create stronger human connections and to make this discovery. And for the first time in my life, be able to answer questions like that you take for granted, right? Why do you look the way you do? Why do you have certain characteristics and traits? Where do some of your passions come from? But what it taught me about creativity, because, you know, ultimately the person that found me is my sister, who is also a graphic designer, right?
Oh, really?
So the idea that design and art ran through both sides of the family was part of this discovery. And at the same time, the fact that my parents, as I grew up, invested in my passion for creativity and design shows that you can be born with it, but if no one's there to draw it out of you, then it will just lie dormant. So it's important for all of us to, you know, kind of, it gets back to that idea of empathy and really spending the time to understand people's, you know, hidden passions and expertise and help to kind of help them realize that. A very, you know, not only was it this year profound in terms of publishing my first book, of course, but to finally, after years of questions, come into contact and start to develop relationships with my birth families has just been, you know, priceless.
That must be a real mind-blowing experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, you know, put into words, right? Because essentially, these are things you thought on and off about.
Yeah. And you're creative, you know, you would imagine.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, and the generosity that I've been met with, and, you know, reuniting adoptees with their birth families doesn't always work out,
no,
right?
No.
In fact, sometimes it's actually quite rare. But in this case, it's just been this unbelievable life bonus, you know, at this stage of my life to now have all these new relationships. At the same time, to have a sense of history that's yours, that's in your bloodline.
Where you come from.
That fact that, you know, and in some ways, you know, I've had so much support and had so many privileges in life to get to where I'm at. But at the same time, in some ways you're playing an away game when you don't have that understanding of your DNA. Yeah. And in some ways you're making up that story as you go through life.
You're the visitor, aren't you?
That's right.
I was growing up in a slightly different, I know my birth parents, but I was my dad moved around a lot, so I was always the new kid.
Yeah.
And it makes you a certain way.
That's right.
It can break you, but it can also make you, can't it? So you growing up different in Minneapolis, you were always the outsider. So you saw things from a different point of view, and it might not have felt it at the time, but it's probably a blessing in terms of your career.
You're right. I'm glad you brought that up. And I can relate to that. The fact that you're moving into these new school systems and have to essentially reintroduce yourself and your identity. Yeah. And growing up as a person of color in an all-white school system for me was every day you were faced with those questions.
How did you not get into trouble? How did you not lash out at someone? You know, because it sounded pretty bad where you were.
I think, unfortunately, it took a while for me to solve things verbally, you know, through my voice. And so, you know, when you're a kid, you solve things, you know, physically. Yeah. And maybe that's why my favorite sport became boxing.
There you go. You're a pugilist.
But I think, like you, you can either use that adversity and shrink from it and go backwards, or you can use it as fuel to achieve great things. And I always used it to create forward momentum. And if I could go back in time, I would have been more verbal in sharing that with my parents, right, or teachers. But you know, back then in the 70s and early 80s, adults were taught to see no color.
Yeah.
And so therefore you didn't have a level of empathy built in to see people for what their experience was, because those weren't the questions you were asking. So yeah, you're a little bit on your own, but with that said, as I said, I drew upon those experiences to be a part of some of the most impactful social impact work for the brand over those years, because I think those experiences helped me see those opportunities. And you look out for other outsiders when you are one.
Yeah.
So, and you look to invite them in when you're in those positions of power on that. So,
and it makes it strength, because, like you say, complacency and comfort, it's such an irony that we spend our lives in societies, families, trying to create comfort.
Yeah.
And then it's the discomfort that creates the change
in
the progress.
So true. Yeah.
It's kind of whoever's up there, the great maker or nature or whatever, it's almost like a kind of test to see if you can keep hunger in paradise, as a friend of mine calls it, another author.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how do you keep that kind of hunger going? And if you're a successful company, like you're involved in startups now, aren't you? So,
And, you know, you're... My role there is similar, right? And some of it is just helping these upstart brands master the fundamentals. Oftentimes in startup culture, you're trying to perfect the product and you're trying to get to market as fast as you can to monetize that product, right? You've got investors and you've got pressures to do that. And, you know, very often you're skipping the very basic tasks of branding. Building your brand house, right? The fundamental building blocks of, you know, your mission, vision, position, and values. Like, is that even written down sometimes?
No,
you know,
the brand Bible.
Right?
When I was in charge of creative at Cartoon Network, I was they used to complain a lot to me when I was demanding a brand Bible. You know?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I used to use biblical references and say, you know, there wouldn't be religion, there wouldn't be Christianity without the Bible. You know, you've got to write it down. You've got to.
You do.
You have to show, even if you're going to reject it, you know, even if that you change it every day.
That's right.
It has to start with the discipline of getting something agreed.
You're exactly right. And I just feel it's hard for the picture to shine within the frame if the frame itself isn't solid.
Absolutely.
And so brand standards and visual standards and all the things that go into creating that strong brand identity will allow the voice to be more powerful.
Yeah.
And so that's why sometimes it's not even a creative exercise. Mm. It's just back to, as I say, mastering the fundamental aspects of brand building.
Yeah.
On that, and knowing that the work you do up front will set you up for long term success versus having to do this down the road.
Yeah. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because we've grown up in a culture of that kind of fail fast, break things, ships as soon as you can.
That's
And you will. I mean, you can. It is like the old proverb of, you know, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go a long way, go together.
100%.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you brought your book today and the structure of the book, everything you've put into the book, it really does show. So thank you for taking the time to share it with us today. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Richard, and thanks for a wonderful morning and great questions and conversations with everyone here and some sunshine. Love in it. London, which is incredible.
Thank you.
Okay,
cheers.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bokomi Cast. Please subscribe. This is a new season, so there should be new episodes every week. And do leave us a review in your podcast player of choice. If you want brilliant minds like Greg in your company, you can join our mailing list at bokomi.com/events or email me on hello@bokomi.com. Bokomi works with all the major publishers to connect the very best non-fiction books and their authors to audiences in clubs and companies. So if you produce or program talks, events, retreats, or a book club for your company, please let us know how we can help. You can also follow us on @Bokomi on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, whatever takes your social fancy. And remember, if you have to do it with emotion. Bye for now.